Intervju Radija Študent.
Drage poslušalke, predragi poslušalci, poslušate Radio Študent na frekvenci 89,3 MHz, tole pa je Ereš Intervju. Z mano na telefonski zvezi je namreč že Anda Adam Grendosil iz osebe The War on Drugs, ki danes ob 9. zvečer nastop na Ljubljanskem gradu. Adam, hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, how you doing?
Hey, I'm alright, how are you, where are you, what's going on?
I'm in the castle.
Oh,
we're about to start sound checking over at this beautiful castle.
So you like the venue?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, we showed up and it was a little cloudy, and now the sun has opened up, and we were up on the roof, I guess, where the archery people used to go, where the archers were.
Yeah.
Taking pictures of the beautiful city, and now I'm drinking a beer.
Sounds great.
Eating some chips. Yeah, it's awesome.
So is this how usually your concerts look like on the castle with?
Yeah, normally we play mostly outdoor castles in exotic European cities, but then occasionally we'll play like a normal rock and roll club in America.
But that's quite boring.
Exactly. Yeah, for the most part, all over the world we play outdoor castles.
So what do you prefer, Europe or USA? I saw you're touring both quite a lot.
Yeah, we have. It's totally different. Obviously, in America, where we're from, it's more comfortable, and we have friends in every city, and it's a lot easier to travel. But at the same time, in Europe, it's obviously an amazing place, you know.
Okay.
And the fans are amazing here, and it's not familiar to us, but it's also like more exciting that way. And you know, like, European promoters, you know, they, like, you know, really take care of you when you show up to a venue, and they give you really great home-cooked dinners, and make it really enjoyable for you to play there. So it's a different experience, but I think we enjoy both of them for different reasons.
Well, what about media? Do you feel you get enough attention? I saw Pitchfork is quite a fan. You even played the Pitchfork Day Party in Austin, but I guess this is quite helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, when we made the album, we hadn't really made one in a few years, and I was kind of like, you know, hiding away, trying to make something that, you know, I was really proud of, and then, you know, it comes out and all these people really enjoy it, you know, and like people from all over the world have heard it, and it like affects people, and it's a really amazing thing, you know, to make something just that was kind of just for you in a way, and then it turns into something a lot bigger. So, I mean, you know, Pitchfork and you know, even more importantly than Pitchfork is, like, you know, the guy, the 16-year-old living in, you know, Greece or something, you know,
yeah,
who hears it and he's like, and it changes his world or something. So yeah, it's super super cool for sure.
Okay, so let's talk about the beginnings. How did it all start? You actually founded the group with Kurt Will. That was
yeah,
in 2005.
Kurt, yeah, back in the day, we played a lot together. We just played a lot of music with each other and like recorded a lot of music with each other. And so we were working on his music a lot. And then kind of when I put out the first War on Drugs record, it had just been like me and him doing a lot of stuff. So yeah, and then we kind of like, the band grew from there. It was like, at the beginning there was 6 or 7 people, and then down to 3 or 4 people. And just kind of kept building up, you know, changing as we went along. And the first record came out in 2008. And really ever since then, we kind of just been traveling, touring a good amount. Always trying to kind of, you know, kind of broaden the sound of the band and keep changing as we go. And so it's been good. Definitely been busiest the last 8 months, you know, almost a year or so.
I understand. You also play with Kurt.
Yeah, I do. I haven't really since last year because...
The War on Drugs started playing a lot.
When our record came out in August, he was still touring on his record, so I haven't really been able to do too much. But, I mean, I did play in his band for, you know, 7-8 years, I guess. And, you know, we're still just, like, close friends and musical friends, and I'm sure we'll probably play with each other in some capacity, whether it's just recording or you know, hopefully touring at some point, so... You know, both really busy, and it's good though. It's good. You know, when we were getting started 8 years ago, it's like, you know, I guess we wanted to be busy. You know, now we're both busy, so it's good. And both happy for each other.
I'm really interested. What was going on before War on Drugs? What were you doing? Did you play in any bands?
Not really. Before I moved, I was doing a lot of when I lived in California before I moved to Philadelphia. I was doing a lot of, like, just home recording stuff. I knew I wanted to do music. I had been playing guitar, like, obsessively since I was, like, 14. But I guess I didn't really have any... At the time, like, when I was, like, 17 or 18, I didn't really have any desire to, like... I don't know. I didn't really know how to get my music out there or something. And it was really when I moved to Philadelphia that I kind of, like... I just kind of met a bunch of people who played music, and I just kind of, I guess, branched out a little more than I had in the past, and put myself out there a little more than I had. But before the War on Drugs, I guess I was just recording a lot of music on my recorder and learning how to write songs and record, and just kept getting better as a player, you know, and a writer. So, and then when I moved to Philadelphia, I started playing. In a few bands, I played in, the first band I played in was Kurt's band, really. We became really quickly, close friends. But then I played in this other band called the Capital Ears, where I played guitar for about a year. And then I just started doing the War on Drugs and Kurt's band full time, so.
So two jobs at one. Tell me, you mentioned home recordings. This is actually how your first record was born.
For sure. Yeah, a lot of the stuff on the first record dates all the way back to 2003, 2004, you know. And some of it was actually way before that, you know, 1999, 2000. So, yeah, the first record was pretty much like some really early home recordings and then some more recent recordings because that came out in 2008. And a lot of that stuff we did, like Arms Like Boulders, Taking the Farm, we did that as a band, like, in 2007. But yeah, I mean, the record label, that Secretly Canadian, they had heard some older material.
So, sorry, Adam, are you still there? Sorry?
Are you there?
Yeah. Okay. So, actually, you were making your first album, Wagon Wheel Blues, your whole life. And then the second album was done in 3 years. Was that a big challenge, or?
Yeah, it was kind of. It was a big challenge because I still didn't really know, I guess, the sound I was like looking for. So it took a lot of trial and error to get there. The record went through a number of different stages, and so I'm kind of happy that I just kept, you know, moving forward and not putting a version that I was at one point, you know. Kind of kept refining, you know, the sound and doing a lot of experiments at home and a lot of home recorded experiments and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Do you buy vinyls or records, albums? Do you have a collection?
Yeah, I have a big collection of vinyl records. Recently, actually, I've gotten more into buying on iTunes.
Really?
Okay. I mean, I still buy records all the time, but. I never really did the whole, like, iTunes thing, and now I have like an iPad, and I think it's really cool that I can go and find really any record I want, you know? And then I can buy it and listen to it right there, and then I'll be in the store and I'll find like a first edition or something, you know?
But are you mostly buying old records or newer stuff?
A little bit of both, but I do buy mostly old records.
Okay, so I thought of that. I was thinking how your record collection would look like. So I'm really interested, what's the new stuff you're listening to? Like modern bands?
Let's see. Of late, the record that Damien Strato made, he's actually on the same label as me.
Okay.
But I've been listening to that a lot. It's a really beautiful album. He made it with Richard Swift, who's a producer and has his own music and actually plays in the Shins right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they made a really great record together. I really like The Clientele, but that's not super new. Sharon Van Etten made a really great record. Here We Go Magic. Their new record is really good. There's a lot of... and also I actually like the new Beach House record a lot, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, if we try to capture your sound in words, like the sound of War on Drugs, we can say Americana, folk. I even heard this great word, boss gaze.
Yeah.
There's some ambient parts to your music. Where do you find yourself in the middle of that?
I think it's a little bit of like, you know, my love of like home, like experimenting at home on the record, and then also just really loving like good classic songwriting and like, you know, I think we're somewhere in the middle there. The live experience is definitely a little more rock and roll than the record. You know, the record is still kind of rock, but it's also a little more subdued.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we do use a lot of the same, a lot of layering live, it's still a bit more of a rock show, which is good. It's a little more engaging, maybe, and the songs take on a little bit of a different experience.
Yeah, I saw there's 10 people on the album and live 4. How do you transpose that into a live show?
We have a lot of different, you know, ways, and we're all like super. We don't really play to a lot of like tracks or anything. You know, we're all doing everything in the moment, with the exception of really drum machines. We just have, you know, we're just all really, I guess, you know, really we love our instruments, and so we just have ways of getting a lot of different sounds out of our instruments. But no, on the record, we never played 10 people, you know, all at once. You know, that was usually just like me inviting friends over to play a guitar on something or do a bass on this or drums on that. So it was definitely, the recorded version was kind of more piecemeal, and then you kind of get to interpret it differently as like a live 4-piece band. So it's good though, it's similar. You're not going to like not recognize any of the songs. But yeah, it's definitely a little bit more of like an all-out rock and roll affair. So
there, fun with it. There were quite some lineup changes. You already mentioned that. Did you ever feel like the band won't be able to go on, or are you taking it as an evolving project?
What do you mean? Like, in what way?
There were, like, your drummer is playing with you only for a year now, if I'm right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you always had these changes, like, you started the band with Kurt, and then you went your own way, he went his own way. Did you ever felt like you should do your solo album like Adam? Or did you feel like War on Drugs will fall apart? Or was it always just an evolving thing?
I think it's really just a constantly evolving thing, you know, because it's like, you know, the classic, you know, it's like if one door closes, another door opens, you know, and that's just kind of the way things go, like, you know. Like, in some way, it is a solo band, you know, or not, I mean, not so much in the future, but I think the three records that have been made were definitely kind of a solo records in a way, you know, just because at the end of the day, I was the only one that was really looking over them and, like, finishing them and doing everything. But I never really thought it would end. I just thought it would always be like a kind of constantly changing thing. And now that we have like a pretty solid live band for the last year, I think that'll just open more doors, you know, and like the next record will probably change the way I do things because of the live thing, and then that'll probably change something after that, you know. So I just try to embrace the fact that it's always going to be changing and always going to be moving in a direction that hopefully I can always stand behind, and hopefully I can care about every record I make as much as I have, you know, the first few. So
you like to collaborate?
Yeah, I do.
So I feel the urge to ask you if you could do an album with Bob Dylan or Bruce Springsteen, who would you choose?
I guess I would do Bob.
Yeah? Why?
Yeah. Just because I would probably learn so much. I would learn from both of them, but I have more questions about how Bob records than I do about how Bruce records, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Bob, I think, is probably a lot more of a collaborator with his band. You know, I know stories of him just playing with his band in the studio for a week, just learning old songs, like old standards, so that when they record his songs, that they're playing them in that same way. And I think recording with him would be a pretty amazing
experience,
amazing thing. And plus, you know, I could ask him a bunch of questions, and maybe we could share a cigarette together, and I'd go on coffee runs for him, you know, and do, you know, look at pictures of his kids or whatever. So
yeah, I guess
I think it'd be a good record.
Yeah, I guess everybody would enjoy that. What about the Water Boys? I saw you're playing a cover, A Pagan Place.
Yeah.
Do you like this band? Were you a big fan when you were growing up, or?
Not so much growing up, but I became a fan maybe 5-6 years ago. I just became a fan, and as I started getting into their collection, I just found a lot of similarities and like just a lot of the similar things that I just really enjoyed, and I didn't know much about them. I just knew that in America they weren't that well known. But then when I heard that Pagan Place song, I just kind of lost it, and it was like something about it just really kind of hit home for me. And so we started covering it a couple months ago.
Do you play any other covers live, or?
No, actually. The history of this band, we never really did that many covers.
So what can we expect tonight? Like the blend of the two albums, or maybe something new? Are you already working on new material?
I'm always like writing new stuff, but we haven't really been playing any of it. But yeah, it'll just be three records, the EP included. And normally we've just been playing for about an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes every night. So, yeah, we just like to go for it, you know, and just kind of go all out. And hopefully, you know, it's outside and the sound's going to be, you know, slapping off the walls of the castle. And it's going to be really, really beautiful.
Cool. Adam, thank you for this conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's pretty, you were a very good interviewer.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Enjoy the show tonight. And
yeah, we will.
In the castle, of course.
It'll be a good time.
Cool. Thank you very much, Adam.
Thank
Bye.
Thank you. Ciao.
Torej, Adam iz zasedbe The War on Drugs, ki jo lahko danes ob 9 zvečer ujamete na gradu. Pred skupina bojo lanski klubski maratonci Karma Koma. Mi si pa torej poslušamo War on Drugs in njihovo skladbo Brothers. Oh,
Intervju Radija Študent.